Oh, yeah. We're on. Are we on? There we go. It is Friday. It is Friday. This is your Mike Malloy Show. I am not Mike Malloy. I am Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com. Here for another thrilling episode of the Mike Malloy Show. Mike's got the night off, but it is Friday, and after, man, how many years? 3-4 years I've been sitting in for Mike Malloy. We finally got the Friday special music. It's taken forever. The opening first hour music, awesome. Way to go. What could possibly go wrong today? We are broadcasting once again live from the left coast at the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150 here in Stephanie Miller's studio. Don't tell her that I'll be sitting in her chair all night. And as usual, of course, I'm joined by my my trusty engineer, Tony Sorrentino. He'll be playing the best music. Huh?
Brad?
What?
Who? My name's Phil.
Who? Phil?
Phil.
What happened? Where's Tony? What happened to Tony Sorrentino? My usual, I've counted on him for 3-4 years sitting in for Mike Malloy. And
he's not going to be here today.
He's not going to be here today?
No.
I'm going to be stuck with... You mean, who are you and what have you done with Tony Sorrentino?
It's Friday the 13th and Mike Malloy is nowhere to be found. This is Nightmare on Malloy Street.
The whole thing is just a dream.
With Brad Friedman.
Wake up!
Yes, it is. Friday the 13th, and that's what they've done to me. They've replaced my usual engineer, Tony, with some guy named Phil. Hey, Phil.
Hey, man, you say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, ask me in 3 hours if it's a bad thing. Phil Giangrandi is sitting in instead of Tony for this, your Nightmare on Malloy Street. It is Friday the 13th, and I don't know what the hell is wrong with Mike Malloy, but he always asked me to sit in on April the 1st, on Friday the 13th. I don't know what he's thinking. But anyway, we're glad you're here joining us. We've got a brand new chat room. Speaking of nightmares, we've got a brand new chat room. Go to bradblog.com if you want to play along with us tonight. The folks at our previous chat room have priced us out. However, the good folks of ScribbleLive.com have come in at the, really, they came in at the last moment. I tweeted what was going on with our old chat room, and they said, well, would you like to work with us? We'd be happy to, Mr. Friedman. So ScribbleLive.com is helping us out tonight for our brand spanking new chat room. Stop on by bradblog.com. You'll see the big item there that says Nightmare on Malloy Street. And by the way, extra bonus to anybody who can come in and tell us who that face, nice lady is in our Friday the 13th Nightmare on Malloy Street logo. It's over at bradblog.com. Come into the chat room. Let us know who you think that face is. And other than that, I'll keep my eye on the chat room if you have thoughts tonight. You can also tweet me at the Brad Blog, just like the fine people at Scribble Live did when they saved us from this nightmare. We've got a big show for you tonight. Really, we're building this thing on the fly. It's quite exciting. I hope to be speaking in a few minutes with somebody who out of Nebraska, who is going to the Republican state convention tomorrow, which is a hell of an interesting story, and I will tell you why very shortly. But let me get my thoughts together here. Okay, yes, joining us also in this hour will be Sharon Harrington, the supervisor of elections down in Lee County, Florida. Her county is one of only 2 out of 67 who seems to be continuing this voter purge that of so-called non-citizens. You recall that Governor Rick Scott created a list of 182,000 registered voters who he said were potential non-citizens. And they started and they sent about 2,700 of these names out to the county clerks. I'm sorry, the supervisors of elections around the state of Florida. And most of the supervisors kind of revolted because they started sending notes out to these people, and these people were saying, oh, wait a minute, I'm a citizen. I'm 91 years old. I fought in the Battle of the Bulge. What do you mean you're going to remove me from the rolls? Well, in Lee County, Florida, Sharon Harrington, who's going to join us, continued to remove people from those rolls, believing they were non-citizens, despite the fact that about 65 of her 67 colleagues stopped doing that. So we're going to talk to her about that and find out what's going on in Lee County. Also, if you haven't heard, out in Wisconsin, last time I was on, about 2 weeks ago, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, we had just finished up the June 5 recall election out there in Wisconsin. And if you remember, when the polls closed 8 o'clock June 5 Tuesday, all the network news outfits, all the cable news outfits were all saying it's too close to call. This is going to be a long night. The exit polls, we've been looking at them all day. It's neck and neck between Governor Scott Walker and Tom Barrett. Get your popcorn, get in your pajamas. This may last till dawn. And yet, in about 45 minutes or so, they ended up announcing Scott Walker was the winner by a landslide. Problem was, nobody in the entire state of Wisconsin actually bothered to count the paper ballots. Most of the state is using paper ballots, but they didn't bother to count them. They just relied on the computers, the same computers that in election after election have announced, things like losers to be the winners. Speaking of Florida, Palm Beach County, Florida, March of this year. Two different races. Two losers were named as the winners by the optical scan computers, the same ones they use in Wisconsin. Down in Florida, they happened to notice because they counted the paper ballots. They do no such hand count up in Wisconsin, at least until now. We will be joined later on in this broadcast, by Margie Lambert, and who is a Democrat, and John Washburn, who is a Republican. They have been making public record requests for these ballots across the state in hopes of actually having, human beings count them to make sure the person who was named the winner actually was the winner. And there is reasons to be concerned that maybe they weren't. We will be talking about that a little bit later in this show. We'll also be joined by Jason Leopold of truthout.org. Speaking of nightmares, he and Jeffrey Kay had an exclusive report this week about a new inspector, actually an old inspector general's report from the Department of Defense, discussing the fact that we have been forcibly drugging the detainees down in Guantanamo. Aren't you proud? We'll find out if that practice continues. We'll find out what that means for those people who are being held down there, most of them without any kind of trial at all, still after all of these years, what kind of psychotropic drugs they were given. It's a pretty appalling story. So, as I said, it's your nightmare, it's my nightmare. Speaking of nightmares, Mitt Romney seems to be having a nightmare right now. I don't know if you've been following the Twitters all day, but man, this story about Mitt Romney and the fact that he said he was no longer the CEO of Bain as of 1999... In fact, all of these SEC filings show that he was still the president, the owner, the CEO of Bain Capital all the way through at least 2002. His story is quickly falling apart. Is his candidacy falling apart with it? And if it does fall apart before we even get to the convention in Florida, in Tampa, this August, what does that mean? Well, it could mean something very interesting for the Ron Paul people and what is happening tomorrow in Nebraska at the Republican convention could turn out to be incredibly interesting. We're going to take a quick break here, but then we're going to come back with, we got him, Michael McKenzie. He is a delegate for the Republican convention tomorrow in Nebraska, where a vote could occur that may well change everything that you believe is going to happen this August at the Republican convention in Tampa. Got that? Buckle up. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. It's Friday the 13th. This is your nightmare. I'm Brad Friedman. Stay with us. To the Mike Malloy Show. As I promised, it is Friday the 13th, a nightmare on Malloy Street. The nightmare for you may be that you got me, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, in for three live hours in the middle of an election season. Ha! Sorry about that, but that's the way it goes. As I promised, a great big show for you tonight. And so I want to get momentarily to my first guest here, but I got to quickly set this up. Ron Paul, I mentioned before we went to the break that Mitt Romney, this issue about Bain, when he left Bain, was he telling the truth? Did he lie in SEC filings and everything else? Could become a very big issue. By the way, so could what I believe is his case of voter fraud in Massachusetts. But I'll point you to bradblog.com to read more about that, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about that later. But, you know, what happens if the Romney candidacy falls apart? And what happens if it doesn't fall apart? What happens if the Ron Paul folks continue to move forward as they seem to be quietly moving forward without anybody noticing? So far, they have got the majority of delegates, it's believed, in four states so far. If they get a fifth state, then Ron Paul goes on the ballot. He can be nominated on the first ballot at the convention in August, and then, frankly, all bets are off. Rachel Maddow has been talking about this. She said earlier this week that nobody seems to care about it but her. Well, that's not true. We have been covering this very closely, frankly, as state conventions, local conventions have happened, and the GOP establishment has basically been taking down these Ron Paul folks, quite literally having them arrested, breaking their bones. And I'm not kidding. And this has all been caught on videotape. Tomorrow is the Nebraska convention where the Ron Paul folks could get their fifth state. This is a very serious issue. And, this is what Rachel Maddow had to say about it just a couple of days ago.
Republicans have a real problem here. That is a big deal, and that there is no parallel for on the Democratic side. Trying to ignore that fact will not make it go away. Private security guards or not, these dissenting Republicans that everybody is trying to ignore may do something this Saturday that turns the Republican National Convention this summer on its ear. I realize it is not happening in Washington, and therefore the Beltway will not pay attention. I realize that the Republicans who are in charge of the Republican Party don't want to talk about this, and so the Fox Newses of the world will never cover it. But it is happening. And if we believe that party politics mean anything in this country, the fact that one of these parties is being taken over from within and it's going to screw up their big pageant slash prom in the fall kind of seems like a big story. All eyes on Nebraska.
All eyes on Nebraska, indeed. And in Nebraska, tomorrow, as this convention takes place, will be Michael McKenzie, a small business owner in Omaha. He's attending with four friends who I believe are all delegates. Michael, do I have you there? Michael McKenzie, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, I'm here.
Okay, good. Do I have it correct? You're a delegate to the state convention in Omaha tomorrow?
No, that's the only part you got incorrect.
Okay.
I did not make it as a delegate.
Okay.
All of my friends did. I came to record just in case bones are broken.
Okay, I see. And I know there are some concerns about that. Do I have it right as far as the concerns about what could happen tomorrow if Ron Paul delegates win the majority down there? Will they, in fact, be then eligible to go on the ballot at the national convention in Tampa?
If we can prove the plurality, which means we have to get 18 or more delegates, if we can prove that we got those 18 or more delegates, then they would have technically no way to say he couldn't do it. However, we've already gotten 7 states, and they've retracted 4 of them.
What is
3
that?
Of them.
What do you mean? What do you mean they retracted them?
They've disqualified people just because the way they wanted them to. They've told people that they were unlawfully brought in as delegates and switched them out. They said that these delegates are bound to Romney, therefore, even though they're Ron Paul delegates, we don't count them. So
you suspect
the GOP party has a very large bag of dirty tricks.
They do indeed. And frankly, we're going to be talking in the next segment. If they're willing to do this to their own people, imagine what they're willing to do to Democrats. So they may win tomorrow in Nebraska. Ron Paul may get a plurality of delegates, but that does not necessarily mean he'll end up nominated on the first ballot in Tampa, right?
Only if they decide to invalidate the delegates. And we do have a way set up to make sure that they can't do that without a big fight.
What way do you have in the 30 seconds I got left for you, Michael?
If I told you that, it would give away a secret card that we have going into tomorrow.
Wow. Okay. Where can people watch? If you're live streaming this, where can people watch what happens tomorrow, and what time will that be?
There's multiple live streams. I could give you mine, but the best way to do it would include all of them. If anybody wants to go to thedailypaul.com, I think it's the first post, and it has a link to every live stream.
And what
time? Some of them are going on right now.
Okay. And what time does the state convention in Nebraska begin tomorrow, Michael?
I want to say it's at 8 o'clock in the morning. We're supposed to start registering sometime around 7 or 7:30.
Okay. 8 a.m. Central Time, and it'll be streaming all day. Yeah. We got you. Okay.
So if our stuff breaks, we can keep going.
Very good, Michael McKenzie. Thanks, and thanks to the folks down there for standing up for democracy, whether the GOP establishment likes it or not. Michael McKenzie. All right, when we come back, down to Florida, more chicanery by the Republican Party, purging folks from the voting rolls. This is Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. Stay tuned.
Has the night off, and Brad Friedman is the only voice you hear on your radio. It's Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Malloy Street. Rated GOP 17. Right-wingers not admitted without an adult.
Indeed. The nightmare continues. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show on Friday the 13th. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Glad you could, glad you're sticking with us here. As I said, we've got a huge show, nightmare or otherwise. And one of the nightmares that may be facing voters this year is these attempts by Republicans across the country to keep people from voting with photo ID laws and so on and so forth. Down in Florida, we've been reporting a great deal at BradBlog.com on Governor Rick Scott's attempt to have some 182,000, quote-unquote, potential non-citizens purged from the rolls. And who's that? Whose music is that?
Oh, I see.
I have no idea. Is that your phone?
Yeah.
Oh, my, Brad.
There we go. Okay, see? I told you it was a nightmare. All of a sudden, I'm hearing music. I knew it was you. Phil Giangrande, our engineer, trying to undermine the show.
Hold on a second.
What?
Nothing. Okay. Go ahead. I'll let you get away with it.
Thank you. Yeah. It's your fault. Remember, anything that goes wrong tonight, whether it's really your fault or not, it's
your fault. It's my fault.
Yeah, yeah. That's the nightmare. Anyway, what I was saying, down in Florida, Rick Scott had this list of 182,000 people that he had identified as potential non-citizens. His previous Secretary of State, Republican Kurt Browning, refused to use that list to do a purge. His new hand-picked Secretary of State Ken Detzner decided he would use this list, at least part of it. He sent out 2,700 names to the 67 different county supervisors of elections to ask them to send letters to these voters telling them that if they didn't respond in 30 days, that they would face being removed from the rolls. Removed from the voter rolls for being non-citizens, whether they were or not. And as we found out, there was something like a 98% failure rate in these names. Now, the governor was not honest at all about these names and his attempt to get a an immigration database from the federal government. We have reported on that at Brad Blog. But for the moment, I want to focus on a couple of counties that did begin or at least continue removing voters from the rolls. While I think 64 or 65 of the counties said they would not continue this purge, two of them, Collier and Lee, did in fact remove people from the rolls and for being non-citizens, potentially. Governor Scott has said that they have removed so far 107 non-citizens that were captured in this purge. 50 non-citizens, Governor Scott claims, voted previously, and most of the people who were removed from the rolls actually were in just those two counties, Lee and Collier. Well, I'm joined now by Sharon Harrington. She is the supervisor of elections in Lee County, Florida, where some 56 people have been removed from the rolls for being non-citizens. And we're going to ask her about this purge and if it's going to continue and just how certain these people are that she's removing actually are citizens, or I should say non-citizens. Sharon Harrington, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm great, and I really appreciate you coming on tonight. I know you had an event you had to go to, and you're joining us late there on the East Coast. Okay, do I have this right? We're looking at some 107 non-citizens now out of the original 182,000 suspected non-citizens out of the 11.2 million voters in the state of Florida that have been removed, and so far 56 of them have come from Lee County?
That's correct, but they came from two different sources. The 182,000, that is the big number that everybody's been talking about, was actually a list that came from the Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles Department. When they started the Real ID Act a couple of years ago and they initiated that, when you go in to renew your driver's license, you have to show proof of citizenship now. And they, I believe the people that are on this list are the ones that maybe didn't have documentation to provide or, you know, didn't follow through with it or whatever, because they don't really get involved with the Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles that much as the state does. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I was going to say, out of the ones that they did send out, the 2,700, Lee County only had 13.
Lee County only had 13 out of the 182,000 that they had. Well, they didn't use all 182,000. They only sent out 2,700.
Right.
So you found 13 on the list that Secretary of State Detzner had sent out to you. You found 13 of them to be non-citizens registered to vote, right?
Out of that 13, two of them showed proof of citizenship.
Okay.
They provided us with documentation. Two of them picked up the certified letter. We did receive the postcard back from the post office stating that they had taken possession of our letter, which explains what the whole process is and provides them an opportunity to respond. They picked it up, but there was no response.
Now, when you say they picked it up, these were actually, you sent them certified letters, help me make sure I get this right, and said basically you have 30 days to request an administrative hearing to prove that you are a citizen. We suspect you're a non-citizen, so you have 30 days to answer this letter. And you sent certified letters. Now, when you say picked up the letter, in fact, what it was somebody at the house signed for the certified letter, right?
Correct. Either either they sign for it or if there wasn't anybody home, the post office, of course, notifies you, and
right.
then you have to go down and physically sign for it.
Okay,
but
so
two of them did receive their letters.
So two of them received their letters because they signed for it, or at least somebody
right.
at the house signed for it, right?
They signed for them, right.
And so when you then remove those people because they signed for this letter but they didn't respond to you, how do we know, in fact, that the person the letter was intended for actually received that letter?
Well, because we get the card back and we know who signed for it, for those letters.
So the actual person, Joe Smith, signed for the letter, and Joe Smith is the one who was removed then from the role, right?
Right, after that 30-day period. But we waited 30 days before we did anything.
Mm-hmm.
Once we were notified, we waited the 30 days because they had up to that time. And after the 30 days, then they were removed.
And
the other nine out of the 13 mm-hmm. were undeliverable as addressed.
They were undeliverable, so maybe they moved or something, and then they were removed from the rolls for that reason?
We did not get a response. Either they moved or they couldn't find them. Post office could not find them at all. We did not get an alternate address or, like, a forwarding address from the post office. No communication whatsoever. But they're a little bit different because of the fact that they didn't actually take possession of those letters. What we have to do then, since we don't have a house to mail it to or an apartment or a physical address, after the 30 days and we get those back, then we publish those names in the legal ads in the newspaper general circulation. It's all under statute. And we have to list the name saying, look, you're about to be removed. You have 30 days from the date that this ad ran to get in touch with us and let us know what your status is.
Sharon,
because we couldn't contact them any other way.
And pardon me, because we're having a little trouble with your phone. It's a little hard to hear. And I might call you back here, take a quick short break and call you back on a different line. Are you on a cell phone or a landline, Sharon? Because we're having a little trouble.
I'm on a cell phone because my landline is a new phone and the battery's not fully charged yet. So you're not going to get anything better there.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay. All right. That's why I'm having trouble. Sing out what you're saying there because I am having a little bit of trouble. Okay. So these people, you sent them notes. Nine of them, you say, did not respond, or actually they couldn't be reached. Now, do we know if any of those people were, let's say, on vacation for summer, or maybe overseas, fighting in Afghanistan, stationed in one of our many wars? Do we know for a fact that these people who face being removed from the roles aren't actually, are fighting men and women overseas?
We wouldn't know that necessarily, but the reason we got them back is because they couldn't be delivered to that person based on the address that we had on file. It was just a bad address, not necessarily that they were just away from home on vacation or, like you say, serving in the military. This is the address we had on file for them, and it couldn't be delivered by the post office. It was not a good address.
But if I go away for a road trip, as I frequently do over the summer, maybe I'm gone for a month or two, if you had sent me a certified letter, there would be nobody there to sign for it. Would that be an instance where you would receive it back and I would be potentially removed from the rolls?
Eventually, the post office would send those back as not retrieved. They couldn't deliver it. They did have a house that they delivered it to. Nobody was home. Then it goes back to the post office, and then they wait for a while. They try, I believe they do try to remail it or redeliver it again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times they actually attempt to do it that way. But
in fact, I would end up being removed from the rolls inappropriately in a case like that where I was out of town.
Well, it would be just like the ones that picked up the letters and never responded to it, basically.
Yeah.
We didn't get any response. There was nobody there. They couldn't deliver it.
So they're not confirmed to be non-citizens, but they could face removal from the rolls nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. If I would give give them due process and give them every opportunity to, you know, get back with us. But generally, when we get them back from the post office, it's undeliverable as addressed. It means they don't live there anymore.
Okay.
That is not a good address for them.
Now, what about these people? There was a bunch of people, I think 43 voters were purged based on a juror list where somebody had found that they had at some point or another said, actually, let me take a quick break and then I'll come back and ask you about this juror list, because some of these people were facing removal from the rolls because they said they were non-citizens in order to get out of jury duty, but they may or may not have been non-citizens and they may have been removed from the rolls. And I'm also wondering why it is that all of the other, or at least 65 of the other county supervisors of elections decided not to do this purge. I'm speaking with Sharon Harrington from Lee County, Florida. I'm Brad Friedman. Stay with us. That's it. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com trying to make sense of this purge of voters down in Florida, supposed non-citizens who are being purged in at least 107 cases. That so far is all that Republican Governor Rick Scott has been able to find out of his initial list of 182,000 suspected non-citizen voters, which he says are registered to vote in the Sunshine State. He is claiming that the federal government is keeping him from using a federal database to cross-check some of these names against a federal immigration database. That is actually a lie, as we proved at bradblog.com. We've got the documents showing that the state of Florida knew months ago, back in October of 2011, that they didn't have the names, the information needed to use that federal database to cross-check these names. But we're speaking with Sharon Harrington. She's the supervisor of elections in Lee County, Florida, one of two counties who has continued with this purge, while 64 or 65 other counties have all said, we won't do it because these names are not reliable. They have regular citizens on there, natural-born citizens, 90-year-old World War II veterans, World War I veterans, I should say, who are being inappropriately identified. Sharon, we talked a little bit about how you're sending out these letters and removing folks if they don't respond, or if the letters can't be delivered. Whether they're out of town or not, we don't know. So those are not confirmed to be non-citizens, but they face removal from the rolls nonetheless. In these other instances, we've got 48 voters who you have removed, I believe, because they specify they were non-citizens on a jury excusal form some time ago. Have you made any positive effort to confirm that those people are actually non-citizens?
Well, first of all, I have to kind of back everything up a little bit.
Okay.
This came to light as far as the jury list.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to this time, if somebody checked the box and said, yes, they were a U.S. citizen,
mm-hmm.
on the registration application, there was really no place to check. One of our local NBC affiliates had an investigative reporter that got a hold of a bunch of names from the clerk of court.
Right.
And it was for people who had declined jury duty.
Right.
They ran it against our voter registration database and found 89 that belonged to Lee County, and I think it was 7 or 8, something like that, that belong to Collier.
Mm-hmm.
That's why our numbers are a little bit different than everybody else's, because this started way back in December.
Because
last year.
Before Governor Scott's purge that was cross-checked with the state driver's license, this was okay.
Correct.
So the clerk of courts,
And I really think that because this they sent the list directly to the Division of Elections in Tallahassee,
mm-hmm.
and then they forwarded it to us, so they knew about it before we did on this story that they were going to do. And they went ahead and sent it to them. They sent it to us. And I think this was really what kind of started this whole thing of coming out with the names from the Department of Motor Vehicles and the database and all that 180,000 of them. I think this really kind of got that ball rolling.
That did get the ball rolling. That's right. And Sharon, I'm only cutting you off because I'm coming up to the top of the hour. Were you able to verify that the people you removed from the rolls based on their claiming to be non-citizens to get out of jury duty actually were non-citizens? Have you confirmed that before removing them?
We did the same due process like we did with the ones that the division sent us, and we sent the letters out. Half of them gave us proof of citizenship with the form that we had sent out. The other half said, no, we're not citizens, and then they were removed.
So you have 48 voters who actually told you they were not non-citizens. So you're not just relying on the fact that they didn't answer to these letters, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why they didn't want to do jury duty, because they knew that they were not citizens.
Well, that may be the case, or the case may be they said they were non-citizens and then they later became citizens. That's my concern.
Right. Or they were just trying to get out of jury duty, which I have no control over. I mean, that would be up to the courts.
I'm looking at a list that you sent us of 56 names, and I'm only seeing of those names that you sent, 1, 2, 3, 8 names that actually acknowledged that they were non-citizens.
The rest of them also did. Well, we had some others that did, yes.
That they actually acknowledged, as opposed to just not answering the letters?
As far as I know, yes. I don't have my file with me, of course, but... I believe so.
Well, if there's an updated list, I'd love to know, because we're going to be covering this at bradblog.com, and I've got some 8 names here that that you sent from Lee County, Florida, that they acknowledged being non-citizens. But all of the other folks, it was just a matter of their letters either not being delivered or they didn't respond to the letters. And don't you think that the onus should be on you to prove non-citizenship before you remove somebody, take away their most basic right of voting?
This might have been the list that you have. Might have been the original ones that we did, but we are still getting lists from the clerk of court's office, and now all 67 counties are getting lists from the clerk of court's office.
Sharon Herring.
The one I gave you is probably the
I hope we get a newer one. Sharon Harrington, Supervisor of Elections from Lee County, Florida. This story will continue. Thank you, Sharon. Stay with us.
It's Friday the 13th, and Mike Malloy is nowhere to be found. This is Nightmare on Malloy Street.
The whole thing is just a dream.
With Brad Friedman.
Wake up! I'm good.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
now you gotta,
I'm in.
Okay, you're in.
I made it. I'm here. Hello!
You made it. Welcome. Oh, wait a minute. We have a special Nightmare. You are our Nightmare. It's not just Phil Giangrande, our new engineer here tonight, who's our Nightmare. You're also a part of the Nightmare.
No one should be alone in a nightmare. That's why Desi Doyen is pulling the strings.
Pull the string! Pull the string!
Yes. He's...
God.
Do you like that, Phil?
I really do.
Yeah, I know. They're good. They're good. That's from our friends Kenny Pick and Shano of RadioOrNot.com.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I want to know where the pull the string.
Pull the string.
Well, were they in the... Shano was in the chat room. Maybe he can tell us where that comes from. Speaking of the chat room, please stop on by bradblog.com, the top item there, the one with the great big... photo of, I'm not going to say who, but the Nightmare on Malloy Street photo. Did anybody, Desi, in the chat room guess who that that face is?
Oh, yeah, they had it right off the bat.
They did? They knew right off the bat?
Yeah, they knew. Because they remember from, well, okay.
Make them go by the,
All right, I won't say anything.
It's, all I'll say is it's scary as hell. It is the scariest face you will ever
see.
Shano says, pull the strings is from Ed Wood. He says that in the chat room, which, by the way, tonight is sponsored, I should say, by ScribbleLive.com. They saved our butt.
Yes, they were great today.
They were. The previous chat service that we had used decided to raise their prices. They wouldn't give us a break. We said, hey, we'll sing your praises across the public airwaves, across the Sirius XM. We'll tell everyone how great you were. They didn't want to play along. So I mentioned it on Twitter, and sure enough, within minutes, well, maybe a couple hours. ScribbleLive.com came in and very politely said, because they're from Canada, you know. So they very politely came in and they said, "What? You wouldn't consider trying out our service now, would you, Brad?"
Would I?
Yes, would I? And so they were very helpful. We thank them, ScribbleLive.com.
And, you know, it's a great chat software, I have to say. We're really enjoying working with it. Yeah, it's very simple, very clean, very fast. Loving it so far.
All right.
You kind of have to say that, wouldn't you, though?
No, but I actually mean it, though. That's the funny thing.
No, because it's our 32nd. We have a 30-day trial for free.
Oh, cool.
So we don't have to say anything nice about them. Right. We just do it because we want to and because they were very helpful and because we hope they'll let us use it after 30 days.
Nice.
Because it's working. So 877-520-1150 is our phone number. Before we get to those phones, though, Des, some green news over the past week, an unbelievable through the, July 4th. What's going on around the country as far as heat waves, drought, floods down in Florida, deluges? What was the name of that storm? Derecho?
Derecho, and it's a straight line wind storm, essentially hurricane force winds on land, and it's the way that it is very particularly described gives it a very specific name, and it went 700 miles over 12 hours or so from Iowa all the way to Washington, D.C., and as you know, it caused a great deal of power outages. It killed people, knocking down trees. West Virginia was out of power, electrical power, for 9 days.
Well, George Will said, well, this is just, it's summer. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, that's what he said.
It's just summer. Nothing to worry about. All right. Well, let's get to our green news report here, and we'll come back and talk about it. And I've got this clip, if I have time, from Exxon CEO Rex Tillerson. You know, they put millions and millions of dollars into, you know, they give it to jackasses like, what's his name down there in Oklahoma? Inhofe, Senator Inhofe.
Yep.
To run around and say global warming is a hoax, everything's fine, the Earth is getting cooler or whatever nonsense. That's the kind of money that ExxonMobil puts into the disinformation. And yet, when ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson is called on the carpet and asked what he thinks about global warming, he gives a very different answer. We'll play that after the Green News Report. Here is our latest report with Desi Doyen, of course.
A new report and a major alert about the speed of climate change on this planet.
Corporate media finally covers climate change.
Climate change is loading the dice, kind of like a baseball player on steroids, greater capability of breaking records.
Global warming making intense heat waves more likely. The climate change denial industry now going after science journalists. Plus,
the Harper government is the most right-wing government we've ever had in this country. I don't think they care about the environment.
Mad scientists in Canada are revolting.
All of that climate change and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Time after time after time, green energy investments prove to be unworthy. Therefore, the president finds himself on the wrong side of history.
And no one knows the wrong side of history like you, Bill O'Reilly. This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Des, great news. All of the network news outfits are now covering climate change. Does that mean we get to quit the Green News Report?
Oh, no, not hardly. I mean, I know it's something that we rarely say. Good job, corporate media. They really did a nice job connecting extreme weather with climate change science. Here's ABC.
Hundreds of scientists from around the globe saying today there is evidence that global warming is accelerating.
CBS.
NOAA made a point of saying today that the climate change they've identified is man-made.
And NBC.
The word tonight from federal government weather experts, get used to it.
They all covered the record heat wave in the context of a new report that confirms the influence of human-caused global warming in specific extreme weather disasters around the world in 2011, which was a record year. A new report issued this week from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration warns that while not all events could be tied to global warming, human-caused global warming is like weather on steroids, so these events are more likely, more frequent, and more intense, and will increase, as the director for the National Center for Atmospheric Research, Thomas Carl, explained to NBC.
The additional increase in intensity and frequency is caused, not in every case, but in many cases by human activity increasing greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere.
Not surprisingly, the climate change denial industry is stepping up its efforts with a new tactic to intimidate climate scientists. Records uncovered by The Guardian show a climate denial think tank called the American Tradition Institute is using Freedom of Information Act requests to obtain the emails of science journalists and their correspondence with climate scientists who receive federal research funding.
Oh, good. They'll uncover the conspiracy any second.
Oh, any minute now. It's an attempt to discredit those journalists as activists, they say. The New York Times and other targeted outlets say they stand by their reporting. Meanwhile,
overfishing, nutrient and chemical pollution, habitat alteration and invasive species, now climate change and ocean acidification.
The world's coral reefs are seriously being stressed out by climate change and other human impacts, say scientists at the International Coral Reef Symposium underway right now in Cairns, Australia this week. New research shows that the combined changes in ocean temperature and ocean chemistry now being observed have not occurred since a major coral reef die-off 55 million years ago. Reducing emissions is critical to reversing ocean acidification and saving the marine food web, they say, along with reducing agricultural runoff. Industrialized overfishing, it's a daunting but doable task, says NOAA administrator and marine ecologist Jane Lubchenco.
Okay, so you said this happened 55 million years ago. Doesn't this prove that climate change, global warming, ocean acidification is just cyclical? It happens every now and again, every few million years.
Well, of course, climate has always changed in the past. What matters is what's driving the change. Right now, it's human activities loading the atmosphere with greenhouse gases, and scientists say, additionally, it's the speed of change. Rather than over millennia, it's over decades.
Oh, yeah, well, there's that.
Finally, in Canada... Mad scientists are revolting.
They certainly are.
Canada's conservative Harper administration is borrowing a page from the Bush administration playbook, cutting science research and suppressing data. That's the charge from several hundred scientists who marched in protest on Parliament Hill in Ottawa this week in a mock funeral procession behind a coffin and a costumed Grim Reaper protesting what they called, quote, the death of evidence, with sweeping cuts to scientific research, shuttering research facilities, and eliminating entire regulatory offices.
My general message to the crowd here and Canadians in general is that good decisions depend on evidence, all the evidence being brought forward and considered and weighed.
Oh, you scientists and your evidence.
Oh, I know, causing all that trouble for the poor, poor fossil fuel industry.
Indeed. For more on that and all of the other stories we couldn't get to today, please check out our website, greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News Report. While ABC, NBC, and CBS did some decent reporting this week, they probably won't next week. So you're still going to need us, and we're still going to need you to keep telling the truth over your public airwaves. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Changes. Turn and face the strain. Changes.
So changes. The network news has finally noticed we have a problem.
I wonder how long it will last.
Yeah, not long. They'll be on to something else.
Well, I'm sorry, but you know, Tom Cruise is getting divorced, so that's really, really, really important.
Well, you're right. We do have our priorities. Speaking of priorities, what is it, the fifth named storm of the season, named Hurricane Fabio?
Yes,
is now
it's a fabulous name for Fabio. It's the fifth, as you said, the fifth named storm a month earlier than the average fifth named storm occurs.
But nothing to worry about. Well, you know what? The CEO of ExxonMobil may disagree with that. Let me take a quick break. We'll come back with Desi Doyen. And then your calls. People are lining up here. 877-520-1150. We'll hear what the CEO of ExxonMobil has to say about global warming. It's probably not what you think. You're listening to Brad. This is The Molloy Show.
Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love me too.
Welcome back. This is your Nightmare Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Molloy Street. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. We'll be taking your call shortly at 877-520-1150. I'm finishing up here with my the co-host and the managing editor of the Green News Report, Desi Doyen.
Hi, Desi. You're still on.
I'm here.
You here? You're always here. Well, we have your theme. We never get to play this. Who knows when we'll be back for Friday the 13th? So
no one should be alone in a nightmare.
Uh-huh.
That's why Desi Doyen is pulling the strings.
Pull the string. Pull the string.
Yes. Had to get it in one more time.
Well,
who knows? How often do we get to do the Mike Malloy Show on Friday the 13th?
Is he saying, though, that Desi's the puppet master and you're the puppet? Yeah. Is
naturally.
That what's going on?
That's
what
of course.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you believe it?
I can't say. You seem to know
Phil,
what you're doing.
Yes, you can. You can say
no
comment.
Of course that's wrong.
That's
of
right. Thank
that's...
you. All right, let's move on to this. I just want to play this real quick before we need to get to a break, and then we'll come back to calls. But, you know, for all the millions and millions of dollars that the fossil fuel companies pay to lobby Congress to get them to lie. When Rex Tillerson was recently called on the carpet at a council on
he's
foreign...
the ExxonMobil CEO.
What
by
did
the
I
way.
Say?
I don't think you said okay. who he was.
Yeah.
If you didn't, that's who he is.
And that's who he is. The Council on Foreign Relations hearing on climate energy and will we adapt. You know, they all love it. Oh, it's a hoax. There's no global warming going on. We have nothing to do with it. Here's what Rex Tillerson, the CEO of ExxonMobil, says.
And clearly there's going to be an impact. So I'm not disputing that increasing CO2 emissions in the atmosphere is going to have an impact. It'll have a warming impact.
So, did you hear that?
Yep.
What did he say?
He actually acknowledged the science behind climate change, that he didn't say the human part, but he did say that carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas that will warm the atmosphere.
That you add carbon.
He acknowledged
carbon,
the basic
right,
physics.
Right. Which is something that these deniers, these liars, these hoaxers, these scoundrels who go on the airwaves, who disinform the American people over our public airwaves by telling them it's a hoax. The CEO of ExxonMobil says otherwise. He went on to say this.
We believe those consequences are manageable.
Oh, they're manageable. It's fine.
As a species, that's why we're all still here. We have spent our entire existence adapting.
Oh, we'll just adapt. So it gets a little hot.
Oh, for sure.
So we have, drought two-thirds across the country?
56% of the country is officially in severe drought conditions, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor.
Oh, silly you. We'll just adapt.
Okay, so we will adapt to this. Changes to weather patterns that move crop production areas around, we'll adapt to that.
What? Changes that move crop production around?
Yeah,
where?
You know, so hey, up north, obviously. And yeah, if you've got land that's going to be impacted, say you're a farmer in Iowa who can no longer farm on your land, well, that's okay. We'll just move. And whatever you have to do with your land, sorry.
So the hell with you. Someone else will now be the farmer, or you can have your choice to move to Canada or to the Arctic to be a corn farmer.
And I'm
farmer.
Wondering if anybody actually stopped to ask the Canadians what they think about that.
Oh, they think great.
There's a lot of people between here and the equator who might actually want to move
know,
to Canada.
I want to know about the sunscreen.
What do you want to know about the sunscreen?
Well, I'd like to know, are they going to make stronger sunscreen? Is that
We'll adapt. Didn't you hear what?
Thick scales?
The magic science.
It's an engineering problem.
It's an engineering problem.
And it has
problem.
Engineering solutions. And so I don't, the fear factor that people want to throw out there to say, we just have to stop this. I do not accept.
Oh, he doesn't accept it. See, we'll engineer better sunscreen. We'll engineer crop farms up in Canada and the Arctic. Everything's fine. What are you people so worried about? Get over it. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show. Thank you, Desi Doyen. Well done. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Once there was a way to get back home.
May get folks here actually questioning stuff and questioning the whys and wherefores of coal-fired energy. And, well, gosh, the more that folks like you talk about things like that, the more it matters. So thanks a lot, brother. Thanks a lot.
Well, no, Bob, thank you. Are you still without power, or you finally got it back?
Mike Malloy has the night off, and Brad Friedman is the only voice you hear on your radio. It's Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Malloy Street. Rated GOP 17. Right wingers not admitted without an adult.
No, the nightmare is almost over, isn't it? 877-520-1150 is our number. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike. Mike and Kathy, of course, will return on Monday, and your long national nightmare will be over. Until then, yeah, it's me. So glad you could join us here. All right, let's go to some of these phones. I know a lot of people have been holding. 877-520-1150. Mike in Burlington, Iowa. Welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
That's in Iowa, the land of pink slime, thanks to our state wanting to give that to school children.
True enough. But, you know, we were talking about your farms, your corn farms. Those are all moving up to Canada. You guys are going to have to find something else to do, maybe.
We're going to become like Saudi Arabia.
Okay, good idea. Yeah.
Except there's no oil under Iowa.
Right.
Unless you build the pipeline and it leaks, there will be something.
Yes, there will. What's on your mind tonight, brother?
Well, keeping with the idea of the nightmare on Malloy Street, let's just talk about that vampire capitalist, Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Is he still in the race for the nomination, or has he dropped out yet?
I think he's still, well, Mitt Romney is still in it, but Willard, the actual person, isn't.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there is an actual person. I mean, this guy, the mendacity of this guy, the lies that he tells, but I think he really might be up against it with this Bain thing and the fact that he appears to have lied on his, he either lied about not working at Bain when being done with Bain in 1999, or he lied on official SEC filings. It seems to me.
Well, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but Willard Mitt Romney seems to make Richard Nixon look like an honest man.
I got to say, no matter what you think of Mitt, you know, no matter where you are, a Republican or a Democrat, I have never seen a guy who seems more willing to just make crap up, to just say whatever he needs to say. Well, it is absolutely remarkable to watch.
Daily Cause had a bit yesterday or the day before about his tax returns, not out of the current ones that you've been looking at, out of 2010, but back out of 2000 and 1999, because when he went back to Massachusetts,
right,
there was a question about whether or not he happened to be a resident of Massachusetts.
Resident, that's right, after the Olympics.
Taken tax deductions out in Utah,
right,
as a resident of Utah.
Well, that's right, and there was a question about whether he could even, whether his residency was allowable to allow him to run for governor, but the big question remains, at least in my mind, it seems fairly clear to me, that Mitt Romney committed voter fraud, the very thing that Republicans are pretending Democrats are doing around the country. Mitt Romney actually did when he voted in January of 2010 in the special election between Scott Brown and Martha Coakley, and he did not live in Massachusetts at the time. He had a house in New Hampshire and in another house in California, I should say mansion in California and mansion in New Hampshire, but he had no house in Massachusetts when he voted, I would argue illegally. He didn't live there again until he bought this townhouse in July of 2010. I would argue he illegally voted. He did exactly what the Secretary of State of Indiana was found guilty of, three felony charges earlier this year, the Republican Secretary of State, voting from a house, from a residence in which he did not live. And that is one of the most important reasons why he does not want to release his local tax, his state tax filing from 2010, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking he may simply release it, but as an amended form, which happens to come out at some time different than when it was actually filed.
We'll see. This guy is in trouble. Mike, I got a lot of folks here. I want to try to get to everybody. I appreciate your holding, and take care, brother. Stay cool out there in Iowa. Speaking of staying cool, let's go down to Adam in Enterprise, Alabama. Hey, Adam, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, Brad. That one bit about us being able to climate change thinking, it's not about the actual change, but rather the pace of the change. If it were more spread out, maybe we could adapt. I'm not too optimistic, but benefit of the doubt. But let's remember our basic science class from fifth grade. Isn't the change brought about by whatever kill off the dinosaurs. It was the fact that it happened so quickly and they couldn't adapt. And they were a lot more successful than we were.
Well, in that case, yeah, well, in that case, well, they were, of course, much more successful. But in that case where it happened quickly, you know, it had to do with a meteor, which, you know, and it had to do with volcanoes. What we're talking about, and because a lot of people say this is, oh, it's cyclical. It happens all the time. It's, well, you know what? Usually when it happens, it takes thousands of years or millions of years, not decades, as seems to be what is going on now, at least according to the, you know, the scientists who actually know things about this and who don't know how to explain what could possibly be driving it right now other than the man-made release of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere.
Well, go ahead. I'm no expert, but last I checked, 1 + 1 = 2. This revolution came, started dumping all this CO2 in the atmosphere, and temperature started ticked up. It requires total suspension of belief. You know, I don't know how.
Well, listen, you agree. No, you agree, Adam, with the CEO of ExxonMobil. Add carbon to the atmosphere. There's a warming effect. Adam, I got to run. Thanks. I appreciate the call, brother.
Yes, sir. Have a nice
evening. Yeah, and you. Let's go to Joe in Indianapolis. Hey, Joe, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
How you doing today?
I'm okay. How are you? What's on your mind, brother?
I'm pretty good. Global warming.
Yeah.
Theory and science. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm not claiming to be a scientist.
Thank you for making that clear in advance. Go ahead.
Okay. But as I understand science, you know, you put forward a theory mm-hmm. and put out your data, and people try to shoot holes in it.
Right.
And once it is proven or disproven, you know, it becomes it becomes a law.
Right.
My problem with environmentalists is that basically, if somebody goes out there and tries to disprove the theory of global warming, they're personally attacked.
No,
they're called stupid.
No, Joe. If a scientist comes forward with evidence that there is thousands of scientists who have studied this across dozens of different disciplines for decades, if somebody has data that contradict that and they want to put out a report in a reputable scientific journal, a peer-reviewed journal, the scientists look at the science. Now, if Joe from Indianapolis or Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma or Rush Limbaugh or these other guys come out and lie about this garbage, yes, they will be.
That's my point.
What is it?
If somebody comes out and questions it, they're a jackass senator from Oklahoma.
No. Hang on a second.
Just personally attacking people who do not agree with the theory.
No, Joe.
And that is totally against scientific principles.
Well, that's right. I'm not a scientist. So if a scientist calls Inhofe a jackass, that's on the scientist. I'm a blogger, a journalist, a broadcaster, and I'm telling you that when Senator Inhofe comes out and says global warming is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on this country, when he knows goddamn well that it is anything but, hang on, when he knows goddamn well that it is anything but, that all of the scientists in the world know what's going on, and even the ExxonMobil CEO says this is happening, what the hell is Senator Inhofe's excuse for knowing better than all of those people? And if he doesn't know better, doesn't that make him a jackass, Joe?
May I ask one question?
You just did. Go ahead, ask another.
Okay. When Katrina came through.
Yeah.
Okay. It was the worst hurricane season in history, correct?
I don't know. It was a very bad.
That was the claim that was made. It's the worst hurricane season in history.
Okay.
Okay. The problem is there's no way to prove that. Because basically, the hurricane seasons, they only started tracking the things in the 60s.
Well, actually, then they wouldn't have said it was the worst. Hang on,
when you
Joe.
I was to make statements like that. Yeah. They're being totally disingenuous.
Right. Find me
they're
one who did,
to,
Joe. Hang on.
Take...
Pot him down for a second, Joe, because I'm not trying to cut you off, but I only have a limited amount of time. If any scientist said it was the worst hurricane season in history, yes, they would be a bad scientist. I suspect what they said was it was the worst hurricane season in recorded history, and there's a difference. Do you understand the difference, Joe?
You get there's a big difference because they only started, they were only recording them as in categories.
Right. And
like
that's what
years.
They said, Joe. I got to go, brother. I love you, but I got to go. Thanks for calling. I appreciate the call. No, scientists don't say that. They say it's the worst in recorded history. If you find a scientist who said otherwise, feel free. Stop on by bradblog.com. Tell us where they are and how we can find it, and I'll be happy to call them jackasses. Now I was going to say, speaking of jackasses, but that's the wrong thing to say when Kenny Pick from Cleveland is calling us. Hey, Kenny, how are you, brother?
Well, I'm doing so good on so many different levels, but I have a two-tiered comment/question for you.
Okay, before you say that, I should say Kenny Pick is the guy who has been bringing us these awesome Friday the 13th Nightmare on Molloy Street clips all night. That's his great voice. Kenny, we love you. Thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
In a world where there's no corn. No, I kid. But no, what I wanted to say is, who on earth would ever believe that Mitt Romney actually lived in an unfinished basement?
That's where he voted from in January of 2010. How can you that's what he said.
Yeah, who would actually believe that that posh man who rides Mitt on the jet ski would,
Are you calling him a liar, Kenny? Are you calling Mitt Romney a liar?
Perhaps so, but I actually have a question about the one of the most recent Green News reports.
I think you owe him an apology, but all right, go ahead. What's your question?
I will write him a handwritten letter and send it to him. I'll lick the stamp myself.
I hope you do.
I will. But no, my question to you is, if we have this giant corn shortage because of of course global warming,
right,
the climate change, whatnot. What the hell are we going to do? Where on earth are we going to get corn from? Canada? South America? Are we going to ship it in from China?
Didn't you hear the CEO of ExxonMobil? It's just an engineering problem. We'll just move the crops up to Canada.
Oh, okay. No, I did hear that, but I didn't. I didn't hear the full thing with it. Really? That's the easy solution. Just bounce it up to Canada.
Well, he didn't say Canada. He said we'll just move the crops around. Now, there might be a problem that I don't know that we have farmland up in Canada. It might be mountains and stuff, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. As a species, we have learned to adapt, Kenny.
That is so magically stupid. It's incredible.
But Kenny, I got to run, man. You rock. Thank you again. And please tell everyone where we can hear the Kenny Pick show on our internets.
Hey, no problem. KennyPick.com and on NicoleSandlersRadioOrNot.com.
You rock, brother. And I don't know when we'll have another excuse to play those Friday the 13th Nightmare on Molloy Street clips again. But thank you for delivering them. You rock. Thanks, man. Talk to you later,
too.
Brother. All right. We got to get to a quick break here. We'll come back with the last of our calls. If you're on the line, hang on. Never enough time. The nightmares are never long enough, as far as I'm concerned. When we come back, a few more calls at 877-520-1150, and then we will disappear into the night. Speaking of Kenny Pick, I think it's Into the Night with Kenny Pick, or something like that, at RadioOrNot.com. You're listening to Brad Friedman of Brad.
The first thing, before the hospitals, nursing homes, or anything came on, power was restored to the mountaintop removal operation so the blasting and poisoning could continue.
First things first, Bob. Got their priorities straight. Speaking of which, priorities, where can we hear you, sir, broadcasting over our public-ish airwaves?
Well, or the interweb tubes, headonradionetwork.com. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you very kindly for all that you do. Keep up the good fight out there, Bob. Great to hear from you. Glad you survived that storm, but don't get cocky. There may be a few more in store for us all, I'm afraid.
I think there'll be more coming along, Brad. You have a wonderful weekend, brother.
Thanks, Bob. Take care. All right, do we have time? I'm going to try to get to very quickly. Let's see. Sanchez. Sanchez from L.A., our old friend. Hey, Sanchez,
good evening to you. I'm going to go as fast as I can on this. First of all, I have to send a shout-out to my friend, reporter down in Mexico City for Al Jazeera, Frank. Now I forgot his last name. Anyway.
Frank. from Al Jazeera. Yeah.
Frank from Al Jazeera. Anyway, I've been working this story for about a week and a half now. Anonymous, the same Anonymous with WikiLeaks, who are part of the people that helped break the story of the Mexican presidential elections, that were also, there's a lot of problems going on down there. So the whole thing has been put on hold because Manuel López Obrador yesterday is sought by filing a motion to redo the entire Mexican elections. WikiLeaks went in. They showed that where there's all this corruption going on.
I got to go. I got to go, Sanchez. I love you. They hacked the Mexican election. Don't be surprised. I'll see y'all at bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman. Keep it lit, America.
It's Friday the 13th, and Mike Malloy is nowhere to be found. This is Nightmare on Malloy Street.
The whole thing is just a dream.
With Brad Friedman.
Wake up!
I'm good.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
now you
got I'm in.
Okay, you're in.
I made it. I'm here. Hello.
You made it. Welcome. Oh, wait a minute. We have a special nightmare. You are our night. It's not just Phil Giangrande, our new engineer here tonight, who's our nightmare. You're also a part of the nightmare.
No one should be alone in a nightmare. That's why Desi Doyen is pulling the strings.
Pull the string! Pull the string!
Yes. He's...
God.
Do you like that, Phil?
I really do.
Yeah, I know. They're good. They're good. That's from our friends Kenny Pick and Shano of RadioOrNot.com.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I want to know where the pull the string.
Pull the string.
Pull the string.
Well, were they in the Shano was in the chat room. Maybe he can tell us where that comes from. Speaking of the chat room, please stop on by bradblog.com, the top item there, the one with the great big photo of, I'm not going to say who, but the Nightmare on Malloy Street photo. Did anybody, Desi, in the chat room guess who that face is?
Oh, yeah, they had it right off the bat.
They did? They knew
right off the bat? Yeah, they knew. Because they remember from, well, okay.
Make them go by the, yeah.
All right, I won't say anything.
All I'll say is it's scary as hell. It is the scariest face you will ever
see.
Shano says, pull the strings is from Ed Wood. He says that in the chat room, which, by the way, tonight is sponsored, I should say, by ScribbleLive.com. They saved our butt.
Yes, they were great today.
They were. The previous chat service that we had used decided to raise their prices. They wouldn't give us a break. We said, hey, we'll sing your praises across the public airwaves, across the Sirius XM. We'll tell everyone how great you were. They didn't want to play along. So I mentioned it on Twitter, and sure enough, within minutes, well, maybe a couple hours, ScribbleLive.com came in and very politely said, because they're from Canada, you know, so they very politely came in and they said, "What, you wouldn't consider trying out our service now, would you, Brad?"
Would I?
Yes, would I? And so they were very helpful. We thank them, ScribbleLive.com.
And, you know, it's a great chat software, I have to say. We're really enjoying working with it. Yeah, it's very simple, very clean, very fast. Loving it so far.
All right.
You kind of have to say that, wouldn't you, though?
No, but I actually mean it, though. That's the funny thing.
No, because it's our 30-second, we have a 30-day trial for free.
Oh, cool.
So we don't have to say anything nice about them. Right. We just do it because we want to and because they were very helpful, and because we hope they'll let us use it after 30 days.
Nice.
Because it's working. So 877-520-1150 is our phone number. Before we get to those phones, though, Des, some green news over the past week, an unbelievable through July 4th. What's going on around the country as far as heat waves, drought, floods down in Florida, deluges? What was the name of that storm? Derecho?
Derecho, and it's a straight line wind storm, essentially hurricane force winds on land, and it's the way that it is very particularly described gives it a very specific name, and it went 700 miles over 12 hours or so from Iowa all the way to Washington D.C. And as you know, it caused a great deal of power outages. It killed people, knocking down trees. West Virginia was out of power, electrical power, for 9 days.
Well, George Will said, this is just, it's summer. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, that's what he said.
It's just summer. Nothing to worry about. All right, well, let's get to our green news report here, and we'll come back and talk about it. And I've got this clip, if I have time, from Exxon CEO Rex Tillerson. You know, they put millions and millions of dollars into, they give it to jackasses like, what's his name down there in Oklahoma? Inhofe, Senator Inhofe.
Yep.
to run around and say global warming is a hoax, everything's fine, the Earth is getting cooler or whatever nonsense. That's the kind of money that ExxonMobil puts into the disinformation. And yet, when ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson is called on the carpet and asked what he thinks about global warming, he gives a very different answer. We'll play that after the Green News Report. Here is our latest report with Desi Doyen, of course.
A new report and a major alert about the speed of climate change on this planet.
Corporate media finally covers climate change.
Climate change is loading the dice, kind of like a baseball player on steroids, greater capability of breaking records.
Global warming making intense heat waves more likely. The climate change denial industry now going after science journalists. Plus,
the Harper government is the most right-wing government we've ever had in this country. I don't think they care about the environment.
Mad scientists in Canada are revolting.
All of that climate change and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Time after time after time, green energy investments prove to be unworthy. Therefore, the president finds himself on the wrong side of history.
And no one knows the wrong side of history like you, Bill O'Reilly. This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Des, great news. All of the network news outfits are now covering climate change. Does that mean we get to quit the Green News Report?
Oh, no, not hardly. I mean, I know it's something that we rarely say. Good job, corporate media. They really did a nice job connecting extreme weather with climate change science. Here's ABC.
Hundreds of scientists from around the globe saying today there is evidence that global warming is accelerating.
CBS.
NOAA made a point of saying today that the climate change they've identified is man-made.
And NBC.
The word tonight from federal government weather experts, get used to it.
They all covered the record heat wave in the context of a new report that confirms the influence of human-caused global warming in specific extreme weather disasters around the world in 2011, which was a record year. A new report issued this week from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration warns that while not all events could be tied to global warming, human-caused global warming is like weather on steroids, so these events are more likely, more frequent, and more intense, and will increase, as the director for the National Center for Atmospheric Research, Thomas Carl, explained to NBC.
The additional increase in intensity and frequency is caused, not in every case, but in many cases, by human activity increasing greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere.
Not surprisingly, the climate change denial industry is stepping up its efforts with a new tactic to intimidate climate scientists. Records uncovered by The Guardian show a climate denial think tank called the American Tradition Institute is using Freedom of Information Act requests to obtain the emails of science journalists and their correspondence with climate scientists who receive federal research funding.
Oh, good. They'll uncover the conspiracy any second.
Oh, any minute now. It's an attempt to discredit those journalists as activists, they say. The New York Times and other targeted outlets say they stand by their reporting. Meanwhile,
overfishing, nutrient and chemical pollution, habitat alteration and invasive species, now climate change and ocean acidification.
The world's coral reefs are seriously being stressed out by climate change and other human impacts, say scientists at the International Coral Reef Symposium underway right now in Cairns, Australia this week. New research shows that the combined changes in ocean temperature and ocean chemistry now being observed have not occurred since a major coral reef die-off 55 million years ago. Reducing emissions is critical to reversing ocean acidification and saving the marine food web, they say, along with reducing agricultural runoff. Industrialized overfishing, it's a daunting but doable task, says NOAA administrator and marine ecologist Jane Lubchenco.
Okay, so you said this happened 55 million years ago. Doesn't this prove that climate change, global warming, ocean acidification is just cyclical? It happens every now and again, every few million years.
Well, of course, climate has always changed in the past. What matters is what's driving the change. Right now, it's human activities loading the atmosphere with greenhouse gases, and scientists say, additionally, it's the speed of change. Rather than over millennia, it's over decades.
Oh, yeah, well, there's that.
Finally, in Canada...
No science, no evidence, no truth. No democracy.
mad scientists are revolting.
They certainly are.
Canada's conservative Harper administration is borrowing a page from the Bush administration playbook, cutting science research and suppressing data. That's the charge from several hundred scientists who marched in protest on Parliament Hill in Ottawa this week in a mock funeral procession behind a coffin and a costumed Grim Reaper protesting what they called, quote, the death of evidence, with sweeping cuts to scientific research, shuttering research facilities, and eliminating entire regulatory offices.
My general message to the crowd here and Canadians in general is that good decisions depend on evidence, all the evidence being brought forward and considered and weighed.
Oh, you scientists and your evidence.
Oh, I know, causing all that trouble for the poor, poor fossil fuel industry.
Indeed. For more on that and all of the other stories we couldn't get to today, please check out our website, greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News Report. While ABC, NBC, and CBS did some decent reporting this week, they probably won't next week. So you're still going to need us, and we're still going to need you to keep telling the truth over your public airwaves. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
So changes. The network news has finally noticed we have a problem.
I wonder how long it will last.
Yeah, not long. They'll be on to something else.
Well, I'm sorry, but you know, Tom Cruise is getting divorced, so that's really, really, really important.
Well, you're right. We do have our priorities. Speaking of priorities, what is it, the fifth named storm of the season, named Hurricane Fabio?
Yes,
is now
it's a
rolling
fabulous
in?
Name for Fabio. It's the fifth, as you said, the fifth named storm a month earlier than average, than the average fifth named storm occurs.
But nothing to worry about. Well, you know what? The CEO of ExxonMobil may disagree with that. Let me take a quick break. We'll come back with Desi Doyen. And then your calls. People are lining up here. 877-520-1150. We'll hear what the CEO of ExxonMobil has to say about global warming. It's probably not what you think. You're listening to Brad. This is The Molloy Show.
Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love me too.
Welcome back. This is your Nightmare Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Molloy Street. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. We'll be taking your call shortly at 877-520-1150. I'm finishing up here with my the co-host and the managing editor of the Green News Report, Desi Doyen. Hi, Desi. You're still on.
I'm here.
You here? You're always here. Well, we have your theme. We never get to play this. Who knows when we'll be back for Friday the 13th? So
no one should be alone in a nightmare.
Uh-huh.
That's why Desi Doyen is pulling the strings.
Pull the string! Pull the string!
Yes. Had to get it in one more time.
Well,
who knows? How often do we get to do the Mike Molloy Show on Friday the 13th?
Is he saying, though, that Desi's the puppet master and you're the puppet? Yeah. Is
naturally
that what's going on?
That's what he's
saying.
Of course.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you believe it?
I can't say. You seem to know
Phil,
what you're doing.
Yes, you can. You can
say
no comment.
Okay, no, of course that's wrong.
That's
of
right. Thank you. All right, let's move on to this. I just want to play this real quick before we need to get to a break, and then we'll come back to calls. But, you know, for all the nonsense, all the millions and millions of dollars that the fossil fuel companies pay to lobby Congress to get them to lie. When Rex Tillerson was recently called on the carpet at a council on
he's
foreign...
the ExxonMobil CEO.
What
by
did
the
I
way.
Say?
I don't think you said okay. who he was.
Yeah.
If you didn't, that's who he is.
The Council on Foreign Relations hearing on climate energy and will we adapt. You know, they all love it. Oh, it's a hoax. There's no global warming going on. We have nothing to do with it. Here's what Rex Tillerson, the CEO of ExxonMobil, says.
And clearly there's going to be an impact. So I'm not disputing that increasing CO2 emissions in the atmosphere is going to have an impact. It'll have a warming impact.
So, did you hear that?
Yep.
What did he say?
He actually acknowledged the science behind climate change, that he didn't say the human part, but he did say that carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas that will warm the atmosphere.
That you add carbon.
He acknowledged
carbon,
the basic
right,
physics.
Right. which is something that these deniers, these liars, these hoaxers, these scoundrels who go on the airwaves, who disinform the American people over our public airwaves by telling them it's a hoax. The CEO of ExxonMobil says otherwise. He went on to say this.
We believe those consequences are manageable.
Oh, they're manageable. It's fine.
As a species, yeah. That's why we're all still here. We have spent our entire existence adapting.
Oh, we'll just adapt. So it gets a little hot.
Oh, for sure.
So we have, what do we have, drought two-thirds across the country?
56% of the country is officially in severe drought conditions, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor.
Oh, silly you. We'll just adapt.
Okay, so we will adapt to this. Changes to weather patterns that move crop production areas around, we'll adapt to that.
What? Changes that move crop production around?
Yeah,
where?
You know, so hey, up north, obviously. And yeah, if you've got land that's going to be impacted, say you're a farmer in Iowa who can no longer farm on your land, well, that's okay. We'll just move. And whatever you have to do with your land, sorry.
So the hell with you. Someone else will now be the farmer, or you can have your choice to move to Canada or to the Arctic to be a corn farmer.
And I'm
farmer.
Wondering if anybody actually stopped to ask the Canadians what they think about that.
Well, they think great. A lot of
because a lot of people between here and the equator who might actually want to move to Canada.
I want to know about the sunscreen.
What do you want to know about sunscreen?
Well, I'd like to know, are they going to make stronger sunscreen? Is that
we'll adapt. Didn't you hear what?
Thick scales?
Science
It's an engineering problem.
It's an engineering problem.
And it has
problem.
Engineering solutions. And so I don't, the fear factor that people want to throw out there to say, we just have to stop this. I do not accept.
Oh, he doesn't accept it. See, we'll engineer better sunscreen. We'll engineer crop farms up in Canada and the Arctic. Everything's fine. What are you people so worried about? Get over it. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show. Thank you, Desi Doyen. Well done. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Once there was a way to get back home.
May get folks here and actually questioning stuff and questioning the whys and wherefores of coal-fired energy. And well, gosh, the more that folks like you talk about things like that, the more it matters. So thanks a lot, brother. Thanks a lot.
Well, no, Bob, thank you. Are you still without power, or you finally got it back?
Mike Malloy has the night off, and Brad Friedman is the only voice you hear on your radio. It's Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Malloy Street. Rated GOP 17. Right-wingers not admitted without an adult.
No, the nightmare is almost over, isn't it? 877-520-1150 is our number. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. Mike and Kathy, of course, will return on Monday, and your long national nightmare will be over. Until then, yeah, it's me. So glad you could join us here. All right, let's go to some of these phones. I know a lot of people have been holding. 877-520-1150. Mike in Burlington, Iowa. Welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
That's in Iowa, the land of pink slime, thanks to our state wanting to give that to school children.
True enough. But, you know, we were talking about your farms, your corn farms. Those are all moving up to Canada. You guys are going to have to find something else to do, maybe.
We're going to become like Saudi Arabia.
Okay, good idea. Yeah.
Except there's no oil under Iowa.
Right.
And
well,
unless you build the pipeline and it leaks, there will be something.
Yes, there will. What's on your mind tonight, brother?
Well, keeping with the idea of the nightmare on Malloy Street, let's just talk about that vampire capitalist Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Is he still in the race for the nomination, or has he dropped out yet?
I think he's still, well, Mitt Romney is still in it, but Willard, the actual person, isn't.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there is an actual person. I mean, this guy, the mendacity of this guy, the lies that he tells, but I think he really might be up against it with this Bain thing and the fact that he appears to have lied on his, he either lied about not working at Bain when being done with Bain in 1999, or he lied on official SEC filings. It seems to me.
Well, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but Willard Mitt Romney seems to make Richard Nixon look like an honest man.
I gotta say, no matter what you think of Mitt, no matter where you are, a Republican or a Democrat, I have never seen a guy who seems more willing to just make crap up, to just say whatever he needs to say. Well, it is absolutely remarkable to watch.
Daily Cause had a bit yesterday or the day before about his tax returns, not out of the current ones that you've been looking at, out of 2010, but back out of 2000 and 1999, because when he went back to Massachusetts,
right,
there was a question about whether or not he happened to be a resident of Massachusetts.
Resident, that's right, after the Olympics.
Taken tax deductions out in Utah,
right,
as a resident of Utah.
Well, that's right, and there was a question about whether he could even, whether his residency was allowable to allow him to run for governor, but the big question remains, at least in my mind, it seems fairly clear to me, that Mitt Romney committed voter fraud, the very thing that Republicans are pretending Democrats are doing around the country. Mitt Romney actually did when he voted in January of 2010 in the special election between Scott Brown and Martha Coakley, and he did not live in Massachusetts at the time. He had a house in New Hampshire and in another house in California, I should say mansion in California and mansion in New Hampshire, but he had no house in Massachusetts when he voted, I would argue illegally. He didn't live there again until he bought this townhouse in July of 2010. I would argue he illegally voted. He did exactly what the Secretary of State of Indiana was found guilty of, three felony charges earlier this year, the Republican Secretary of State, voting from a house, from a residence in which he did not live. And that is one of the most important reasons why he does not want to release his local tax, his state tax filing from 2010, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking he may simply release it, but as an amended form, which happens to come out at some time different than when it was actually filed.
We'll see. This guy is in trouble. Mike, I got a lot of folks here. I want to try to get to everybody. I appreciate your holding, and take care, brother. Stay cool out there in Iowa. Speaking of staying cool, let's go down to Adam in Enterprise, Alabama. Hey, Adam, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, Brad. That one bit about us being able to climate change thinking. It's not about the actual change, but rather the pace of the change. If it were more spread out, maybe we could adapt. I'm not too optimistic, but benefit of the doubt. But let's remember our basic science class from fifth grade. It wasn't the change brought about by whatever killed off the dinosaurs. It was the fact that it happened so quickly and they couldn't adapt. And they were a lot more successful than we were.
Well, in that case, they were, of course, much more successful. But in that case where it happened quickly, it had to do with a meteor, which, and it had to do with volcanoes. What we're talking about, and because a lot of people say this is, oh, it's cyclical. It happens all the time. It's, well, you know what? Usually when it happens, it takes thousands of years or millions of years, not decades, as seems to be what is going on now, at least according to the scientists who actually know things about this and who don't know how to explain what could possibly be driving it right now other than the man-made release of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere.
Well, go ahead. I'm no expert, but last I checked, 1 + 1 = 2. We start, this revolution came, started dumping all this CO2 in the atmosphere, and temperature started ticked up. It requires a total suspension of belief. I don't know how.
Well, listen, you agree.
No,
you agree, Adam, with the CEO of ExxonMobil. Add carbon to the atmosphere, there's a warming effect. Adam, I got to run. Thanks. I appreciate the call, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, and you. Let's go to Joe in Indianapolis. Hey, Joe, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
How you doing today?
I'm okay. How are you? What's on your mind, brother?
I'm pretty good. Global warming.
Yeah.
Theory and science. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm not claiming to be a scientist.
Thank you for making that clear in advance. Go ahead.
Okay. But as I understand science, you put forward a theory and put out your data, and people try to shoot holes in it.
Right.
And once it is proven or disproven, it becomes a law.
Right.
My problem with environmentalists is that basically if somebody goes out there and tries to disprove the theory of global warming, they're personally attacked.
No,
they're called stupid.
No. Joe. If a scientist comes forward with evidence that there is thousands of scientists who have studied this across dozens of different disciplines for decades, if somebody has data that contradict that and they want to put out a report in a reputable scientific journal, a peer-reviewed journal, the scientists look at the science. Now, if Joe from Indianapolis or jackass Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma or Rush Limbaugh or these other guys come out and lie about this garbage, yes, they will
be. That's my point.
Yeah.
And
what's your point?
That's my point.
What is it?
If somebody comes out and questions it, they're a jackass senator from Oklahoma.
No. Hang on a second.
Just personally attacking people who do not agree with the theory.
No, Joe.
And that is totally against scientific principles.
That's right. I'm not a scientist. So if a scientist calls Inhofe a jackass, that's on the scientist. I'm a blogger, a journalist, a broadcaster, and I'm telling you that when Senator Inhofe comes out and says global warming is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on this country, when he knows goddamn well that it is anything but, hang on, when he knows goddamn well that it is anything but, that all of the scientists in the world know what's going on, and even the ExxonMobil CEO says this is happening, what the hell is Senator Inhofe's excuse for knowing better than all of those people? And if he doesn't know better, doesn't that make him a jackass, Joe?
May I ask one question?
You just did. Go ahead, ask another.
Okay. When Katrina came through.
Yeah.
Okay. It was the worst hurricane season in history, correct?
I don't know. It was a very bad.
That was the claim that was made. It's the worst hurricane history season in history.
Okay.
Okay. The problem is there's no way to prove that. Because basically, the hurricane seasons, they only started tracking the things in the 60s.
Well, actually, then they wouldn't have said it was the worst. Hang on,
when you
Joe.
I want to make statements like that. Yeah. They're being totally disingenuous.
Right. Find me
they're
one who did,
to,
Joe.
Hang
on. Pot him down for a second, Joe, because I'm not trying to cut you off, but I only have a limited amount of time. If any scientist said it was the worst hurricane season in history, yes, they would be a bad scientist. I suspect what they said was it was the worst hurricane season in recorded history, and there's a difference. Do you understand the difference, Joe?
There's a big difference because they only started, they were only recording them as in categories.
Right, and
like
that's what
years.
They said, Joe. I got to go, brother. I love you, but I got to go. Thanks for calling. I appreciate the call. Scientists don't say that. They say it's the worst in recorded history. If you find a scientist who said otherwise, feel free. Stop on by bradblog.com. Tell us where they are and how we can find it, and I'll be happy to call them jackasses. Now I was going to say, speaking of jackasses, but that's the wrong thing to say when Kenny Pick from Cleveland is calling us. Hey, Kenny, how are you, brother?
Well, I'm doing so good on so many different levels, but I have a two-tiered comment/question for you.
Okay, before you say that, I should say Kenny Pick is the guy who has been bringing us these awesome Friday the 13th Nightmare on Molloy Street clips all night. That's his great voice. Kenny, we love you. Thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
In a world where there's no corn. No, I can't. But no, what I wanted to say is, who on earth would ever believe that Mitt Romney actually lived in an unfinished basement?
That's where he voted from in January of 2010. That's what he said.
Yeah, who would actually believe that that posh man who rides Mitt on the jet ski would,
Are you calling him a liar, Kenny? Are you calling Mitt Romney a liar?
Perhaps.
Perhaps so, but now, but I actually have a question about the one of the most recent Green News reports.
I think you owe him an apology. But all right, go ahead. What's your question?
You know, I will write him a handwritten letter and send it to him. I'll lick the stamp myself.
I hope you do.
I will. But no, my question to you is, if you know we have this giant corn shortage because of, you know, of course, global warming,
right?
The climate change, whatnot. What the hell are we going to do? Where on earth are we going to get corn from? Canada? South America? Are we going to ship it in from China?
Didn't you hear the CEO of ExxonMobil? It's just an engineering problem. We'll just move the crops up to Canada.
Oh, okay. No, I did hear that, but I didn't know. No, I didn't hear the full thing with it.
Yeah.
Really? It just, that's the easy solution. Just bounce it up to Canada.
Well, he didn't say Canada. He said, we'll just move the crops around. Now, there might be a problem that, you know, I don't know that we have farmland up in Canada. It might be mountains and stuff, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. As a species, we have learned to adapt, Kenny.
That is so magically stupid. It's incredible.
But Kenny, I got to run, man. You rock. Thank you again. And please tell everyone where we can hear the Kenny Pick show on our internets.
Hey, no problem. KennyPick.com and on NicoleSandlersRadioOrNot.com.
You rock, brother. And I don't know when we'll have another excuse to play those Friday the 13th Nightmare on Molloy Street clips again. But thank you for delivering them. You rock. Thanks, man. Talk to you later,
too.
Brother. All right. We got to get to a quick break here. We'll come back with the last of our calls. If you're on the line, hang on. Never enough time. The nightmares are never long enough, as far as I'm concerned. When we come back, a few more calls at 877-520-1150, and then we will disappear into the night. Speaking of Kenny Pick, I think it's Into the Night with Kenny Pick or something like that at RadioOrNot.com. You're listening to Brad Friedman of Brad.
The first thing, before the hospitals, nursing homes, or anything came on, power was restored to the mountaintop removal operation so the blasting and poisoning could continue.
First things first, Bob. Got their priorities straight. Speaking of which, priorities, where can we hear you, sir, broadcasting over our public-ish airwaves?
Well, or the interweb tubes, headonradionetwork.com. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you very kindly for all that you do. Keep up the good fight out there, Bob. Great to hear from you. Glad you survived that storm, but don't get cocky. There may be a few more in store for us all, I'm afraid.
I think there'll be more coming along, Brad. You have a wonderful weekend, brother.
Thanks, Bob. Take care. All right, do we have time? I'm going to try to get to very quickly. Let's see. Sanchez. Sanchez from L.A., our old friend. Hey, Sanchez,
Good evening to you. I'm going to go as fast as I can on this. First of all, I have to send a shout-out to my friend, reporter down in Mexico City for Al Jazeera, Frank. Now I forget his last name.
Frank from Al Jazeera, yeah.
Frank from Al Jazeera. Anyway, I've been working this story for about a week and a half now. Anonymous, the same Anonymous with WikiLeaks, who are part of the people that helped break the story of the Mexican presidential elections, that were also, there's a lot of problems going on down there. So the whole thing has been put on hold because Manuel López Obrador yesterday sought by filing a motion to redo the entire Mexican elections. WikiLeaks went in, they showed that where there's all this corruption going on.
I got to go. I got to go, Sanchez. I love you. They hacked the Mexican election. Don't be surprised. I'll see y'all at bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman. Keep it lit, America.